Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 496.
You got dead batteries there, brother.
I know.
What, don't they say replace your batteries every 500 episodes?
But then it started at 5. Like, so we have a timer in here. You wouldn't know that based on the length of our episodes, but we have a little timer clock in here to let us know how long we've been chatting, and I always hit the button right when I start talking so we can keep track of when Joe cusses or says something horribly insensitive. And I'm just hitting the button, and it's now working. So there's a little behind the scenes baseball. And then it finally started working, but it started at like 5.
But that's good. It knew because it took you like 5 or 7 seconds.
Right. So
we're still on track.
So, yeah, we're still
okay. We're off the rails.
Yes. But from a time standpoint, we are on track. And I never said the name of the movie we're doing, which is Hobbs and Shaw, the prequel to Calvin and Hobbes.
Don't wait a minute. Hold on. I thought that we were seeing or that we were reviewing the Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
I like how small that font is. Like the Fast and Furious Presents font is like
not that small.
It's pretty.
You may have seen one where it's small.
Oh,
but
maybe.
Also,
it was the Adam Baldwin font.
I mean, the studio is sending out everything with Fast and Furious Presents. Like they when you review the movie.
Yeah.
The studio makes you say Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw because they want to cash in on Fast and Furious.
Sure. Fast and Furious wants to cash in on this movie. I'll tell you that right now.
People,
they don't have to deal with Vin Diesel anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're like, hey, if we can make this work, we don't have to deal with that D-bag.
Right. Yeah. And then we get a better cast.
So that's, I'm all discombobulated. It's been a while since, I feel like it's been a while since I've done one of these.
It has been a while.
So
it's been a while.
The last one I did was Lion King. That was in 1994.
Wow.
Nothing has changed.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And I believe this is Tom. It's been a while, but...
It's been a while.
You're going to do that every time?
I think you have to. Like
me and Shaka
yeah,
Khan?
Yeah.
We're going to sing a garbage new metal song from 1999.
Was that Seether? Who was
that? No, Stained.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm all shameless plugs. Let's just do one of those. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously and we greatly appreciate it. Why you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. And while you're there, you can join the League of Show Sharers so you can chat more freely or your chats will be seen.
Yeah, that's more.
You post it on the page, nobody's going to see it. No. So you could also, while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers by sharing an episode. It has to be an episode, and be thankful it has to be an episode.
What?
Because we shared a couple trailers this week that got shared a bit.
Just a smidge.
What, the one get shared like 7,500 times or something?
Oh, that sounds light. Maybe in a couple hours. Like our Facebook told us with our Zombieland 2?
Zombieland 2.
Reached 2 million people.
Right.
And it had like... I swear it had like 10,000 shares. It was ridiculous in the end,
So... So thank God.
Yeah.
Well, not thank God. If the episode was getting shared 10,000 times, we would stop reading names, yeah. but we would be very grateful.
Welcome it. Yeah, so. We would just be like, thank you to the 10,000 people that have right. shared the show.
Yes. Well, we'd have three episodes a week. One would be the show shares right. episode that people would, for some reason, download to have Tom yeah. read the name.
I would just input it into a computer, and the whole episode would be just one of those.
They're all Tom yeah. fan.
Yes. Chris Sanders, librarian Cynthia.
I like how your robot, because of all your old-timey references, sounds yeah. like kind of like an old-timey right. gangster
it's,
type of...
My robot is like talking into a megaphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like an Al Jolson.
Listen here, see?
Yeah.
Chris, magic man, man.
My robot is like old-timey Al Jolson. It's a borderline racist robot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
it's just an old Apple IIe, but it's painted black.
Right. But just the rim of the keyboard is white.
Yeah, that, there it is. Did you not see that coming? Because I saw that coming from yeah. a mile. Yeah.
So,
it's an Al Jolson reference, folks.
Right.
Look it up.
Who was a racist who wore blackface.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But so.
I mean.
Okay, I don't. He was
wasn't everybody racist back then?
Right. That's yeah. kind of where I was headed. Yeah. It's just like
because
I'm
people...
happy for all the soldiers that stormed the beach at Normandy,
sure.
but I also feel pretty confident none of them supported like transgender.
Absolutely
equality,
not.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not like we're defending the use of blackface, but it's just that he was
no, I think
revered.
Tom is.
He was also a product of his
yeah,
day.
And he was revered yeah. in the black community and helped black musicians be recognized and things. Like he did have
right.
in that time for somehow someone thought that was an okay thing, and it's like
it's
like casting Eddie Redmayne as a trans person.
Yeah.
Well, right. Like, where yeah, 10 was, years ago, no one even was like, okay, yeah. he's an actor. And,
that was like 3 years
well,
ago.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
he was at the cutoff.
Yeah.
And now it's
he
like.
He is the cutoff.
But you wouldn't even think.
No. Literally. Yeah. Right?
No, I don't think he's a method actor.
He might be.
So, League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week.
But read it in your old timey
and probably never share it again.
What is this?
Chris Sanders, Zara Vanderkrieg, Librarian Cynthia, Ralph Tribble, Griffin Fox Smith, Travis Tewitt, Susan Carlson, Julianne Jordan, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Brent Smith, Lane Levanway, Chris Magic Man, and Gabriel Lugo. So thank you so much for sharing the episode. And I think, and our Patreon account. Don't forget, you can check out our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content and the pride in knowing that you've helped us have a platform to say the horribly offensive stuff like we just said.
Exactly.
So there's that. So
thanks to you.
Yes.
This is all possible.
Yes. This will someday come back to haunt you at a Senate confirmation hearing.
And the last episode we posted was Batman. And then I believe the next one is going to tie into our next movie review, which is a Quentin Tarantino review. So look forward to that one and sign up and you can listen to all the bonus episodes going back and help support the show. We appreciate it.
Awesome. So there's all that. I guess now let's discuss Hobbs and Shaw. 1, 2, 3, go.
So get out of here. Are you serious right now?
This is one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen in my life.
This was amazing.
I
loved this movie.
I hated this movie.
I loved everything about this movie.
And it's funny. It's like I did not care for this movie, but it was also better than any of the Fast and Furious
yes.
movies.
What's the one thing, Tom, that you said was missing?
Some entertainment value?
Car races.
Yeah.
This one had a bunch of them.
Oh.
Yeah. It was great.
This movie was dumb by Fast and Furious standards.
No, not
like,
even close.
If you thought Fast and Furious was dumb.
It's dumb in a different way. And I appreciated the fact that they finally added some humor and fun
yep.
to these movies. Like
yep.
the Fast and Furious movies are so self-important.
Yep.
Over and it's like the sillier they get, the more self-important everything around it becomes. What little plot surrounds it, you know?
Yes.
And in this one, I mean, there's no plot.
No.
I mean, it's classic MacGuffin chase.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally all it is. They might as well have called the virus a MacGuffin. So I appreciated what they were trying to do more than I appreciate what they actually did.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care ultimately all that much for the execution of it, but I felt like it was a step in the right direction. That,
I totally
like,
agree.
They tried to make these things like fun.
It's The Rock.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
When The Rock joins this cast in what, five?
Is that right?
Fast Five, yeah.
Fast Five?
Yeah.
It changes the entire tone of these movies. Well,
that's when they started getting better, certainly. But the problem that I had with this movie, it was so overly long. Like, I mean, about an hour and 45 minutes, yeah. I'm looking at my clock. Like, it should have been ending. I knew the point in time where I felt like, okay, it should be over by now.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to Samoa. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
all the Samoas, just... like, the, what, I don't know what the Samoa Board of Tourism paid for the last 40 minutes
well,
of this movie.
I think The Rock was like, we're going.
And yeah. And I appreciate what they were doing in that scene, but then they should have shaved 30 minutes off of the bickering or the random...
I feel the same way about Samoa that I felt about the comedy. I appreciated what they were trying to do more than I appreciate what they actually did because it was really, really cheesy.
Spotlighting the culture and focusing on that stuff, like you said, like the idea is there. And I'm like, oh, this is a cool idea to shine a spotlight on a culture that we don't see on the big screen. And this is going to be a multi-hundred million dollar grossing movie. So it's like, that's a really cool thing. But even that scene went on twice or three times as much. This movie crawled at a snail's pace, and I feel like The Rock just felt like, you know, he produces it, he puts his money up, he does the social media, you know, he obviously is very involved, and I feel like he did not want to cut anything. He wanted to make this epic. It's a $200 million budget. He wanted all these jokes, he wanted all this action, and to me it got to that point where when action movies are boring because there's too much, this movie just never stops. It is relentless in throwing this stuff at you.
Yeah, it was great.
And I just...
But I will also say, I think the fan base of these franchises, they want relentless.
This is,
you don't go to these movies for subtlety.
No, this is what I've been wanting since 6. Like, 6 is the really good one, right? Or is 5 the really good one?
Yeah, maybe.
It's 5 and 6, or like back to back, are both really good.
I think 5, 7, Fast 8, 5 is the really, yeah.
So like, this is what I want from these movies. Like, I want the lame, okay, so... They don't really find that the two of them. It's weird because they found their footing in the last one. Like, they had the chemistry between the two in the last one. So like the first, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes, it felt a little weird because it felt
like
felt like they were off.
Yeah.
So but once you get past that, they're off to the races together. I think they're I like them together.
I
like the addition of the sister. I liked.
You mean the sister who's 2 years younger, played by an actress who's 20 years younger?
Correct.
That sister?
I'll tell you what, she's the best part of this movie.
When they flash back and I'm like,
wait a minute.
To them as kids, and I'm like, wait, he's 10 and she's 8, and now he's 50 and she's 25? What?
Was she in the last Mission Impossible?
I mean, she was a shining light in this movie. I thought she was great. I thought the action with her was great. The Rock and Statham, I like both of them separately, and I've liked them for a long time.
I think one of the big problems with this movie from a comedy standpoint was just the constant
bickering.
That's... I feel like there, I mean, I honest to God, I feel like there's a version of the script where they
the staring into the camera and doing the insults.
It plays like a rom-com.
It does a little bit. I can see that.
I really thought in the third act, they're supposed to fall in love. Like, what are we doing?
No, and he falls in love with his sister.
Yeah. And, especially when you, the other thing that's funny,
The Rock, not Jason Statham,
they have clauses in their contracts, like the big stars of these movies, that says that they can't ever lose a fight. So if you watch the movies knowing this, it's a fun little drinking game that will probably kill you, but but like you start to see these patterns of whatever happens to one happens to the other. So if Rock throws Statham through a plate glass window, at some point Statham is going to throw the Rock through a stained glass window, right? And so I think it spilled over to this bickering that like neither one could get in, was allowed to get into like the final zinger.
Sure.
And so it just kept going.
To that point though, it's funny that you should bring that up because the whole final sequence of this movie is them both getting punched. Like, okay, you get punched, then you throw a punch, then I get punched.
That went on for 20 minutes. Slow motion punch.
It was great.
And I
loved every second of it.
But I think what you're seeing is we're jumping way, way, way ahead.
Sure.
But in that final battle, they couldn't have one of them take him down.
Right, exactly.
Right? Like,
exactly.
They contractually.
We have to work together.
They had to both, quell the villain.
I'm sure Elba's just like, I mean, fine, but god dang, can I not get punched in the mouth anymore? This is ridiculous.
It's just strange because I like the Fast and Furious movies, and sure, there's ones that I don't like as much, but overall, I mean, I saw The Fast and the Furious in theaters, and I've seen them all since, and you know, I own them all in digital, and Katie loves these movies, but we both hated this movie. Oh. And that's from two people that like the franchise. Right. And
well, I also think it's really weird that it's a spinoff of a franchise and the tone has been changed. Mm-hmm. So radically that it's screaming Fast and Furious at you in all the promotional material.
Right.
But then you get there and ultimately, other than it being an action movie, it has.
It's a comedy.
It has nothing in common with what came before.
And they have two cameos by massively comedic
which
performer?
Oh, I can't
the lazy
help.
Exposition of nope. that Kevin Hart's. It's yeah. horrible.
Oh, I thought it was fine.
Which
no,
I
care.
So lazy.
Did not care at all.
But. Which I can't help but feel is their way of saying if this movie makes enough money.
Oh, this is he said that
you'll
the Rock,
get
the Rock has said that
you'll get
our yeah. team is in this.
Yeah,
movie.
They built yeah. the team. It's there.
It's there.
Oh.
This is it.
Yeah,
this is and it's going to make enough money. I have to believe.
Well, I think it was on pace to open to $60 million.
Okay,
so I'm sure internationally it will do just fine.
Yes. So the two cameos are Ryan Reynolds and Kevin Hart. Who show up as like Ryan Reynolds is a CIA agent.
Yeah.
And they're back and like.
And honestly, that's the movie comes to life when those two are in it.
Yeah.
It's
to,
Ryan,
for me.
And it's Ryan Reynolds playing Deadpool because this director directed Deadpool 2.
Right. And so. It's Kevin Hart playing Kevin Hart because that's pretty much all Kevin Hart does.
And The Rock and him are in 100 movies
yeah,
together.
That's, yeah. He's his little Oompa Loompa. Like he just kind of comes with him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Your team going forward. And it's funny when you look at like the Fast and Furious franchise. So they add The Rock at 5. And then they add, is Gal Gadot in 5?
She was in, yeah, she
Didn't
died
they kill her in,
6? She died in the plane one, so what was that, 6?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so they start to like build their team, and they're just like, okay, Rock's gone, Gal Gadot's gone, Paul Walker's gone.
You know, and that's part of the problem, too, is the Fast and Furious franchise lost all their best people. Paul Walker, unfortunately, and
right.
Gal Gadot by killing her off, and it's like...
to regret that. Like as soon as she got Wonder Woman, I'm sure they were just like son of a.
As soon as she got Wonder Woman, they couldn't afford her.
That's true.
Han.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that.
Oh, yeah,
I can't
yeah.
remember his name, but we were talking about Justin Lin's Better Off Tomorrow.
Oh, maybe yeah.
Better Off
yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was in that.
Yeah.
That's the first time I saw him as a young actor, and it's just they killed off a lot of the best parts of the franchise. And I agree, like, this movie, what they tried to do is they tried to take the best parts of the Fast and Furious movies, which are the over-the-top action.
Right.
It's the goofy comedy and the banter that worked well between Statham and The Rock. But I feel like when they multiplied it and the whole movie became that, it just was too much. I don't miss the Vin Diesel seriousness of family.
Right.
That's the most ridiculous part
yeah,
of the thing.
Again, I liked what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I wish they had done it better.
Sure.
Like, I will say... I hold out hope moving forward because I think if you put the stunts and the action and then you wrap that in a Rock, Kevin Hart, Ryan Reynolds, candy
like,
coating.
Yeah.
Okay. Like that you might have something.
I think they've got something.
Yeah.
This is like the, I don't want to say it's like the test footage, but this was the test.
Right.
To see, like, obviously The Rock can open a movie. We know he can do that.
Yeah.
So when they try to throw these extra teammates in there, where it's just like, I mean, it's an all-star cast. Like, if that's your team going forward, the Fast and Furious did not have that. Like, Vin Diesel and Paul Walker back in 1999?
No, I mean, those
is that
movies
right?
built them.
That's 99,
they were
right?
in movies, but they weren't,
they
like,
weren't.
A-listers.
They couldn't open a movie.
No.
I guess that's true.
I mean, that franchise built both of their careers. I mean, it started earlier, but that was the movie that put them on the map.
Right.
But that's the problem I think they'll also have moving forward, is that's a very expensive cast to assemble.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, right now, with the exception of Vin Diesel, I don't know that Fast and Furious cast is all that expensive to assemble.
No, it's not.
And so, like, yeah, that will be the problem. But I guess when you have these movies making literally $1 billion,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can afford it. You
yeah.
know?
That's, I think that's the advantage that they have. And plus, I mean, there is chemistry between all of them. Like, you've got, like, The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. I don't think I've ever seen them on screen together.
No, I've never seen The Rock interact with
so
Ryan
like
Reynolds.
You know, Ryan Reynolds
yeah because
his...
I had a moment where I was like, okay, Kevin Hart and The Rock, that
Done
makes
that.
Sense
yep.
how did Ryan Reynolds get roped in, and then I was like, oh, the director,
right?
Yeah,
right. So yeah, so this whole movie opens up with a pretty great action, and to this director's credit, he doesn't do the one thing that I hate the most, where it's like close in, super fast cut action scene. Like he pulls out enough to where you can see this whole SIS, which is like the British CIA, get taken out pretty quickly by Idris Elba and his crew. And then she ends up injecting her, like they're after this virus, and she injects the virus into herself rather than giving it to Black Superman, which I was like, that's pretty funny.
It just starts as a superhero movie,
yeah,
right?
And so that's like, the thing is that they've gotten away from.
I mean, it has zero basis in reality.
None whatsoever.
It has self-driving motorcycles, and yes, he's catching bullets with his hands because technology.
Right.
And
none of that bothered me at all. Like, yeah, again, the premise, the setup of it, it has great production value. The stunts, as you said, I mean, this is David Leitch. He directed, co-directed the first John Wick.
Yep.
He directed Deadpool 2. He directed Atomic Blonde. You know, he was the stunt coordinator on The Matrix.
Right?
He actually might have been the stuntman. I just felt like this movie was a B-movie script with excellent production value. If this had a good script, I think this movie would be awesome. And I mean, like, $60 million for a movie like this, like, I feel like this movie could easily open to over $100 if it was just incredible. Then when I say it's dumb, it's just the script I felt was dumb. Not the stunts, not the action, but I think where you're going to lose people is the way that they used all this cool technology and special effects and then had the dumb humor, the dumb writing and the bickering and all that. And it just went on far too long. Like there was something here that could have been, this could be a mega hit. And I don't mean just like a super success.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be successful, but like, why isn't this opening to 125? Why, you know, the critics were lukewarm. They're like, oh,
but
60.
I don't know that I agree. I don't know that like, I think this movie opened to exactly what it was going to open to. I mean, I think it's critic proof. I don't think anybody goes to see this movie because of critics.
But if it got higher than a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, like if it was 98%, I think people might be like, oh, this movie's awesome. Like
maybe from an audience score. What's its audience score?
Like
I don't
90
think this,
something.
I don't think this crowd gives a crap
about this. I mean, this is on the in the vein of Venom or BVS. Like it's not. The critics aren't going to make or break this movie.
But why? I think you just answered my question. This crowd, this movie shouldn't be relegated to this crowd. They should get the people that wouldn't normally see it because people talk about how awesome it is.
Yeah.
Like this movie is only going to play well with the Fast and Furious, gearhead, muscle bound, hyper masculine. That's the crowd that's going to like this movie. And you're not going to win over the average person that may even like action movies in general. Like this is such a masculinity.
Oh,
it's
I disagree.
Just,
I totally disagree. So
I don't
like,
know. I mean, I agree that it's hyper.
It is
masculine.
But when you start to like, you're talking about toxic masculinity, and that's a completely. This is not that.
I don't know about toxic. I mean, obviously, The Rock's not all about that. But this is the higher upper echelon of testosterone masculinity.
If it's not toxic masculinity, it is as close as you can get without crossing that line.
I would.
Because it's never overtly hateful or anything.
I think you live in the wrestling world, like so you see more of the like.
But it has nothing to do with it. I mean,
it does 100%. You live in a world where big, strong, muscle-bound people yell at each other. Like I don't think you notice it because it's not a bad thing. But you're in that world, and that this seems like a normal movie to you.
No, this does not seem like a normal movie to me.
I will say, like the constant one-upmanship between the two of them was exhausting for me to watch.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, okay, we get it. Which is why I'm like, this in a lot of ways plays like the first two acts of a romantic comedy.
Sure.
And I'm just and I don't think that that's what they're intending, but it's hard not to walk away with picking up on some oddly homoerotic undertones that these two want to just rip each other's clothes off.
Sure.
And so I don't think that's the intention.
No.
But it was really hard at times not to be like, where are we heading with this?
When they go, I agree with you. And when they get to the part where they're on the run is where it does change.
Yeah.
Where like the one-upsmanship is still there a little bit.
But they start to dial it down.
They also have other focuses. I do agree.
It's like 40 or 50 minutes before they start to back off on that.
Yes.
And it is exhausting.
I didn't find it exhausting, but I do hear what you're saying. I do agree that the constant back and forth was a little much. And once they have something else to focus on, whether it's the sister or it's the virus or the extra teammates, like then it becomes a little bit different because they're not focused on each other.
Yeah.
So she gets away with the virus and the organization. This is basically a James Bond at this point. Like, they have a secret organization that can control everything, so they control the...
James Bland.
Yeah, James Blonde. So they control the media and the feed of information, so they make it sound like I wish I could remember the sister's name. Hattie, I think is her name. Turned on her team, stole the virus, and she's gone...
Yeah, she turned on her team.
Yeah, gone rogue. So and we find out... It's interesting. They do run into some problems because... Jason Statham straight up murdered Han in Fast Five.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to make him good guy. Yeah, he's a horrible villain. Like, he's a murderous. He blew up a hospital full of people and workers.
Yeah.
How many people died in the hospital that he blew up that his brother was still staying in? Like, it's just the weirdest thing they made him do for, like, evil villain. They painted him as a mustache-twirling villain.
So yeah. Now, am I to assume...
Now, that's something Joe can accept because of he lives in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know those guys. It's a heel face turn.
Yeah. They had to make you know that. I mean, that was like opening credits. That movie was him walking away from a hospital exploding.
But
yeah.
So that makes no sense. Yes.
Last time we saw these characters, the brother was still alive.
That was Luke Evans.
And doesn't Rock have an older daughter that never gets mentioned? I thought there was an older daughter.
I thought this is the same one.
I thought he had a daughter that was more like 1920.
I mean, in real life, she does.
No, in one of these other.
I think he's only had the one daughter.
I thought there was like an older daughter that visited him in a hospital or something.
At this point, none of it.
There was the partner.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
But the last time we saw them is the Shaw family was alive and well. They were both teamed up fighting the bad guys on the plane. It was the big reveal of the last movie. And now you go the whole movie without them even mentioning the brother until the end. And then they say he's dead.
Oh, they did say he was dead.
What on earth?
But they're saying that, like, so the what happens is Idris Elba kind of discloses that Declan didn't do any of that. Like, it was all a setup from this organization. It's like, okay, that works if we don't see him walking away from the scene of the crime. Like, if you didn't show us that part, this makes sense.
Yeah,
but we know. He picks up Han's phone.
They're trying
I'm coming for you.
They're trying so hard to make this guy a good guy,
and he is. He's all like Statham is always a good guy, with the exception of the movie War, which was a Jet Li. That's actually not a bad flick, but he's always a good guy.
But this character, I'm not talking
Declan,
about Statham.
Declan
but
Shaw was not a good guy in Five, or in the airplane one.
He's not a good guy in any of these ones.
Well, he is now.
Well, right.
Because they retconned his entire backstory.
Here's this information. You're going to believe it, and it's very poorly put together, and they're not building very well on the past history of this franchise because we have all this. They needed to come up with a smarter way and a more clever way to be like...
There had to be a way to rehab his character without... Like, I honestly don't... I think they brought him in at the end of Five... Right? That was the end of Five, because he's the bad guy in Six.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They brought him in to be the villain.
Yes.
They did not bring him in to be a good guy.
And then I don't think they expected... It's weird, because Statham is a very... Like, he's a good actor. Like, he's...
He's good at this kind of acting.
Right. I mean, he's good in the Guy Ritchie stuff.
Yeah.
He's good at that character
and
is
he's
his
good
at, go-to.
And he's good in the lighter stuff. He was great in Spy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
He's good in Transporter.
Yeah, the Transporter.
Crank is awesome.
Crank 1 and 2, which is ridiculous.
But that first one especially, that first Crank is just awesome. Yeah. I remember that being like, who, what did, you weren't expecting anything from that?
And no.
Cheb Chelios.
So, like, how they thought that they would not want to bring him back. So, they're just, you know, like, I don't think that there was forward thinking with the franchise.
I don't think it was, honestly, I don't blame it on a lack of forward thinking. I think I blame it on the fact that they're very hero heavy in that franchise.
Yeah, that's true.
And so to bring in another hero probably didn't sit well with their existing heroes.
Yeah.
And so when you bring in an above the title name like
that's
Statham,
who he is.
And you know, especially in this world,
sure,
right? And
he's not drop kicking sharks though. I'll
tell
you that.
And say, oh, he's going to be one of the heroes of the film. My guess is Diesel, especially, was already upset at The Rock,
right?
And now, if you're going to throw Statham at him, so probably the way that they got that past him was to be like, oh, he's going to be the villain.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, so I get to spend a movie beating up Jason Statham. You know what I mean? Like,
is that the one with the head-on collision where nobody got hurt?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Okay. Yeah.
And everybody should have died horribly.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one where he goes through a windshield with a wrench.
That's six.
It's obnoxious. The fact to think that Vin Diesel could fight martial artist Jason Statham.
No.
It's just crazy.
It's not a thing. So the Rock's doing his thing. Like, I like the banter between him and the daughter. That was very good. Finally, he gets a call, and it's Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is basically like, look, we got it. And I like that Ryan Reynolds has, like, he's like, oh, yeah, we got matching tattoos. And the Rock's like, what are you talking about?
I mean, he's playing Deadpool.
He's
Deadpool without the costume.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That's exactly how he's playing this
It's
character.
Interesting because he is another one who can do legitimate mm-hmm. action movies. The Safe House, Smoke and Aces, mm-hmm. things like those are legitimate badass action flicks.
He's a good actor when given the right script, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was in Buried.
He wasn't. Buried's a fantastic movie.
Which is just him in the dark. Like, I mean, you have to act to make that kind of movie.
It's like Locke. It's on the level of Locke. Which,
him just driving around.
Yeah, if you've never seen Buried, if you're claustrophobic, don't watch Buried. But it's fantastic. He's done some other stuff like that. But so I do like that he just like kind of like pulls his shirt open and he's got the exact same tattoo on. Yeah. So he's like, you know, we've got an asset. Go to England and you'll set up there. He's like, I don't work with anybody, blah, blah. Then we flash to almost the exact same scene in England. It was the dude from Deadpool 2. The normal guy.
Oh,
it's
that
Rob
was
Delaney.
Him. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Rob Delaney is the other CIA agent and recruits Chip Chelios.
He was great in Deadpool too.
So okay, so he's the dude from the Italian Job.
Who is
Jason Statham?
Well, that's an Easter egg.
He openly says that's from a job I pulled in Italy.
That's an Easter egg.
I think that'd just be a cue.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I was like, well,
because I turned to Katie. I said, because I don't think she's seen that one. And
that's a good movie.
And I turned to Katie. I go, that's an Italian Job Easter egg. She's like, oh, okay. Because I'm like, they show the Mini Cooper.
Yes,
and say
right.
It was a cute
that's a
Easter
good one.
Egg.
That's
sure.
a good one. Yeah. But if you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor.
Yeah,
go see the Michael Caine one because that one's great as well. But the Marky Mark one is good too. So this is where they're off to the races. Yeah. They're bickering, and they both go their separate ways. They both get the same information.
It's a cat and mouse race against time the whole time.
They're trying to find this doctor who engineered the virus. At the same time, the sisters, who I got to tell you, this is the woman who's being rumored as Catwoman.
Okay.
And
she's great. I think she jumps off the screen. Her, you know what I mean? She has that thing, you know, like Lily James has, we talked about. The Rock has it. This woman has the charisma to where she just has it, right?
Yeah.
And she's magnetic. And I think she held herself very well when it came to the comedy, the action stuff. She fit in all of these different arenas, whereas these other two leads were like, okay, we know they can do it. We've seen them do it. But she's relatively unproven.
I'm pretty sure she was the bad guy in the last Mission Impossible movie.
You're right. I think she's the one where they went to a foreign country and they found her in a bar or whatever.
Yes.
I believe
that
is her,
okay.
So she was like a badass arms dealer or something.
I remember the character you're talking about.
Yeah.
She was great in this. I thought she was the shining light. Like every time she was on screen, I was into what they were doing. And I just, if they are going to have her in more action stuff and
She's the name that's being kicked around that I've seen recently.
That'd
that is cool. Rumored for Catwoman. And who knows what that movie's, you know, going to be.
Yeah. Isn't it going to be a Sirens movie though? I thought they were doing or Birds of Prey, right?
It's Birds of Prey and that's Harley, Huntress and,
I don't think Catwoman's not in that. I thought that she was, but maybe it's Ivy.
It's Black Canary.
Black Canary.
Ivy and Harley.
Okay.
And that's Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Obviously
Margot Robbie
mm-hmm. and another gal for Poison Ivy.
Okay.
So they're, you know, they're off, they're doing their thing. They go end up they all get burned at one point. Like so we find out that Idris Elba, who's the main bad guy, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they kept calling
him Brexit.
I thought it was Princeton.
No, Brexit.
I was like, why don't you just call? All right, whatever. But we find out that he is like the second guy in a shadowy organization. And I kept thinking, like, well, it's Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is going to be the bad guy.
Gonna turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's where, but that was like, why would you bring him in to make him a villain?
Make him the bad guy.
Now they clearly, so they've got like an evil voice changer voice
sure.
that throughout the whole movie is talking, but they drop out of the voice changer. So you're supposed to be like, who is that? You're listening really closely.
Yeah.
And I thought by the end, usually the trope would be that they would drop the voice changer and you'd get a reveal.
See who it was. Yeah.
But they didn't. And so I don't know if we're supposed to know. I haven't seen any chatter or if they were just like, they haven't cast it yet, so we don't know who
that's what I walked away thinking. Was
holding out for this to do really well, and now that voice will be a
come on, Robert Downey Jr.
Right?
That's who we want.
Oh, Iron Man's in this movie, sorry.
He is, yeah, right.
Brixton is basically like stealing superhero tropes from every arena.
Yeah.
Right? So he's the Black Superman, but then also his heads-up display is totally Iron Man.
So that's actually a thing that I've always, like in spy movies... Like, so Scott Snyder did this in a Batman comic where Batman.
Are you talking about the contact?
Yes.
Lens? Okay, that's Terminator. They took that from.
Yeah, that's fair.
But when he's in his fighting and flying and targeting and stuff, it's the Iron Man heads up display.
Oh, no. Yeah, but it's all in the contact.
Right, but the way they're showing it is they show his face like he's in a suit of armor. Like,
in all fairness, Terminator did that as well. Like the heads up display and when you see it from the Terminator's point of view.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. That's Terminator. Yeah. But the way they filmed it, and I wish I had an example of the footage to compare them side by side, but it clearly was reminiscent of how they show Tony in the suit.
Yeah.
Just showing his face.
But that's something that I've always I would want them, if in this new Matt Reeves Batman movie, I want them to give him the lenses so that they have you can bring up a criminal history just by facial, just whatever Batman, weird gadget Batman could have. I was like, yeah, that's cool. So
in this day and age, I mean, they have made those contact lenses.
Like Google Glass does something similar.
But they're prototypes, but they have those contact lenses. They've invented them where a contact lens has a computer in it and it can search like facial records and stuff.
Yeah.
Like there's been research done and that is a thing.
That
would
be awesome.
It's hard to believe they wouldn't incorporate that into, as technology progresses, if the Batman is supposed to be set in a modern time.
I don't, who knows? At this
but
point, I don't know
that he'll set it super modern. We'll just have
you
to
may
see.
Not.
Yeah.
So anyway, like Tom said in Fast 8, there's no car chases. Like the Fast and the Furious franchise is built on car chases and they've completely forgotten them. Well, you get like 7 of them in this movie. So there's,
why is Brixton's motorcycle a transformer? Like, did you hear that noise that they use?
It was so cool.
It actually throughout the movie, and the helicopter did too at one point, which I don't understand, but it actually went and made that it's the exact same noise that the Transformers make when they transform.
Michael Bay's like, those sons of bitches.
I thought that was a really strange choice. Like, it's so obviously that transformer noise.
Right.
So I just thought it was interesting, but all that stuff in my mind is cool with the direction they're taking this series. I like the idea of the hyper technology and stopping bullets and all that, because that's the ridiculous fun that we love of those last movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were getting more and more ridiculous.
When you can drive a Ferrari or whatever through one window and hope that it makes it across 30 miles of airspace.
So yeah, it's cool. What they were doing is cool. I think it was just overlong, but if they could tighten it up, it's like this guy action.
I totally agree. Yeah. And so here's the thing. Is this movie is just it's a slam bang action flick. Like there's really not we've said, there's not a lot of plot. It's pretty much action beat after action beat.
And I think the problem that we're getting is that we've seen such good action movies like Mission Impossible as of lately. We've seen such good ones that this one, I feel like now you have to step your game up because you can't anymore go action movies are dumb because they don't have to be.
He holds onto a helicopter, Kevin. What more do you want? He pulled a Captain America.
Yeah. So it's
to what you're saying is I feel like the Mission Impossible flicks are on a different level. And this one, I don't want to say that Mission Impossible is highbrow because that's stupid. That's not a thing. But they do.
I think for the genre it is.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, and I think also it's deliberately old school.
Yeah.
In terms of its stunt and action scenes.
Right.
And so I think the Mission Impossible action is a lot more visceral. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you, when Tom Cruise jumps over that building and barely makes it and hits
and
the side of that building,
smashes his ankle.
Like you feel it.
Yeah.
It's real. It's not green screen. It's not CGI.
CGI
they use is like a Mad Max to erase the safety harnesses and stuff. But it's actually someone physically doing that.
Is it that Tom Cruise is just trying to kill himself at this point?
Yeah.
As long as he
does it on film.
He wants to die, so he's just like, no, I'll just keep doing the stunts. That's fine.
It's interesting that you bring up Mad Max, because while I was watching this movie, I was thinking of Mad Max. I was thinking how much better Mad Max did with nonstop action, because as I was watching it and was bored, I'm like, but Mad Max did nonstop action. I mean, that movie starts and never lets up, but you love it.
Action scenes are like guitar solos. If you're going to have a whole song be a guitar solo, it better be Eruption. It better be Eruption, right? Because if not, you're Yngwie Malmsteen, right?
Look at you.
And you're just over there, just bleep, 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 and like it's technically proficient, and you're like, I couldn't do it, and it's really good, but I don't want to listen to it.
Right. Exactly. This is like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, wow, these stunts are good. David Leitch has a background in this. He's good at doing this. They're good, but I'm like, I'm not into it.
And so in Fury Road, it was... Every stunt, every action set piece was hyper thought out and really cool. And so he's leapfrogging from cool thing to cool thing to cool thing.
Yeah.
And if you just have a regular action scene and you don't have good stuff wrapped around it, you don't care.
Yeah. That's probably true. And that's the thing is, like, I went into this not like,
and the deeper I got in this movie, the less I cared about the action scenes. Like that first one where they're chasing the motorcycle through the streets and it slides under the bus or the semi. Like that was cool. Yeah. Or when he crashes through the bus and then so does the motorcycle.
I like that one.
That was cool. Like the deeper you get into it, I don't even remember them. I don't really even remember an action scene until the end with the ridiculous helicopter thing.
Right, right.
Where I'm like, it went from how is he pulling this helicopter down to how is the helicopter holding the weight of all these things when they go out over the cliff. But
I guess that I went into this knowing that this was going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
There was nothing. This was not going to be based.
I wanted it too. I mean, I'm not saying I wanted this to be serious. Again, the concept is all there. I just think the execution missed, and that's what's the most disappointing, because you have all these charismatic actors, and I'm not saying that you can't go in for 2 hours and be semi-entertained. And if you love this stuff and you're just going to check out and watch it, then fine. It's just, I think this movie could have been better. I think it could have been $100 million opening instead of 60.
I think it had potential. Down to like maybe 140, 145.
Yeah.
Would have been a huge benefit.
I think the reason it opened to 60 instead of 100 is one, just what we've seen all summer, which is just kind of sequel exhaustion.
That's true. There hasn't been a lot of original
or franchise fatigue.
But
I also think that people are like, well, I'm just going to wait and see what people think, you know. And so my guess is that this will probably have legs because it doesn't have a lot of competition through the rest of the summer.
Right.
And I think it's good enough that the crowd that likes these movies based on the cinema score are going to be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, and what else are you going to go see?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Go see that.
I think one, it's a different crowd.
It really is.
I think two, we'll discuss that in the next one.
I can't wait. So like it's just action beat after action beat. And finally, like I said, once we get out of, once they're on the run and they're able to focus on other stuff, they do chill out with the back and forth. And so basically the news service now has burned all three of them. So they have nowhere to go.
This conglomerate. I'm not going to read into this movie too much, but I do believe this is a social commentary on fake media and all that and fake news. And so they try to do that little tidbit, but whatever that shadow corporation is, they own the media. And so, they've set up this whole story that all three of them are on the run and they bounce around the globe.
But that's also I kind of feel like they're trying to have the cake and eat it too, because on the one hand, that just goes down to conspiracy.
It does.
QAnon, Jews control the media rabbit hole real quick.
Yep, that's true. Early in the movie, the daughter is putting together a family tree, and it's just like The Rock and her. Like, that's the only thing. He's like, yep, good enough.
Yeah.
I didn't know where they were going at first, because I'm like, who's the mom? Like, I thought she was trying to ask, like, who's my mother?
I don't think they ever, because...
I think The Rock is so manly, he can reproduce without a woman.
You know, but it's impressive. Family tree, a family tree is two that go into one, and she's on there, and The Rock's on there. I thought they were asking who's the mom.
Yeah, that's true.
And do they ever address? Is she dead?
They may have addressed that in whatever one we see her in the, for the first time, maybe.
Okay. But it doesn't matter because they'll completely rewrite it to whatever it needs to be anyway.
Exactly. Like, it'll end up, but yeah, they never say who. Anyway.
So we know there's bad blood between The Rock and his brother.
Right. So finally The Rock's like, I've got a place we can go. And it's interesting.
Well, at this point, it's too ridiculous to even really try to understand or explain, but there's a time limit on the virus that's in her hand. She only has 36 hours or something like that.
So they have to get it out of her.
So,
or
yeah,
they burn her alive.
She'll die, or option A is they burn her alive. And so the machine that she has from the Russian scientist is broken. And so now she's like, well, option A, you've got to kill me because we got to contain
He's
this.
Like, I got a place we
and
can
then
go.
It's if, also, if there's anyone that can work on high-tech Russian machinery,
it's
I
this,
know who it
my
is.
My brother fixes cars.
That's it's also... I feel like, okay, so The Rock is Samoan,
yeah,
right? And I
is he now?
He is. In a little wrestling corner, any Samoan wrestler is related.
Yeah.
They're all
well,
related.
Because it's a wrestling family.
It is.
Like his dad was a famous wrestler.
Well, so it
right?
starts with his grandfather. His
okay.
grandfather, High Chief Peter Maivia, married a woman.
Is that his real, is that a real thing?
Peter
or is
Maivia,
that,
yes.
He no, was, High Chief.
Yes, he was, yes.
I didn't know if that was just a wrestling
yes, yes, yes.
thing.
He, like, it okay. was a wrestling,
wrestling
thing.
Wrestling is
it,
real time.
Yeah,
but so. It was also a thing. Like, he was high up in the Samoan.
He was really a High Chief.
Yes.
That's what I was asking.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, that family started, and then, you know, you had, it's so confusing, Yokozuna, who portrayed a Japanese wrestler, was not Japanese.
Oh,
he was
part
Samoan.
Of that?
He's
oh,
Samoan.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah. Jamal and Rosie from Three Minute Warning are Samoan.
Okay.
Rosie is Roman Reigns' brother.
Oh, okay.
And Roman Reigns is in this movie as a cousin, and he is legitimately cousins with The Rock. It's a anybody
well, in that family.
In the movie or in real life?
In real life.
Yes.
Oh, really? I thought I thought it was
no,
part
they
of
are cousins.
The, okay.
Yeah. Any I'm telling you, any you can trace any Samoan wrestler. And they will all go back.
Well, it's
oh,
all,
they're all
it's
cousins.
Also an island.
It is an island.
Right.
That's like, very true. Yes,
well, there's
yeah.
only one woman on the island, apparently.
Right. Yeah,
so.
right. But yeah, so if you can go to the Usos,
yeah,
Nia
right.
Jax, like all of these
right,
current
right.
wrestlers are all cousins.
Yeah.
So he goes back, and his brother, who's an actor that you will recognize, but he's not Samoan, I don't think.
Yeah, I was surprised to see. I mean, this character.
He was
a character
on Fear of the
actor.
Walking he's, Dead. He was yeah. He was in one of the.
Well, I just googled because I was like, boy, I would have thought that with all the money they're spending on cameos, they'd have put a bigger actor in that role. But then I googled famous Samoan actors.
The Rock.
It pretty much stops with The Rock.
Well,
like next one is Pua Magaziva, and apparently he died this year.
Oh, well.
So after that, you go to Oscar Knightley, who looks to be like 65 years old. So
the guy you're talking about is Cliff Curtis, and he's a
yeah.
character actor. He was in Training Day. You would notice him. But yeah, I was surprised that with all the Samoan actors that were in there, and then they made the brother a guy that's from New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
like,
right.
I just... It was confusing that they picked him of all people because I thought Roman Reigns was the brother.
That's
because,
what I thought.
You know, he was in the movie.
I mean,
and
they put them side. Of course, they put them side by side. And they're like, hey, Roman, what's your finishing move? He's like, a spear. He's like, cool, we're going to do that in the movie. And then, of course, he does a Samoan drop.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, bold move. All right. So massive action set piece here where the Rock buries the hatchet with his brother. They decide to fight the.
This is their take on family.
Yes. That's
yeah.
true. That's very true.
Right.
But this one works because they are actually family.
Yeah. I like it in theory, and I like it a lot better than the cheesy Vin Diesel family stuff. I just think they focus too long on it.
Yeah.
You know, to The Rock's credit, I think it is cool to spotlight this culture we don't see, as I said earlier. It went on a little over long, like 10, 15 minutes of this cut, and I think it's a good action scene. You know,
I agree.
It would work.
So, yeah. So they end up...
They go back to their primitive, like, spears.
Yeah, I do like that line where he's like, Mom, where's all our guns? He's like, oh, we got rid of them. He's like, great, perfect. So they take out
the
soldiers.
But since they use comic book guns, they can disable all their guns.
Which I thought was, I was like, yeah, sure.
By doing the clickety-clackety on the computer. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sure, we'll just disable the guns, whatever. Again, what Tom said is there's a helicopter chase where this entire time they have fixed the extractor machine and somehow strapped it to this woman's back.
And don't even get me started on the time period here.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense.
So this movie, before the big fight it starts at nighttime, and they activate our timer, which is 30 minutes. Then it is daytime, and it has gone down 9 minutes.
Well, and he literally says, as they're getting ready for the fight, like, we need to hurry.
We're going
to
be here at sunup.
It's almost dawn.
Oh, he does say that?
He says okay, that yeah. because, like, I get a shiver when anybody says the word dawn.
Yeah. But, like, so, yeah, they try to write it off as in, like, oh, it's almost. But the time, 9 minutes, like, it was pitch black.
Right.
Yeah.
It starts.
And then it starts at night.
And they're even, like, doing stuff for more than 9 minutes, I swear. And then it's daytime. And it's so jarring. And then the whole fight takes place in daylight. Like, clearly it's like, yeah, we need to film this during daytime. And this is a cool nighttime fire scene. Like, it's just.
So, yeah. So they figure it out. You know, they're being chased by a helicopter. The helicopter attaches itself, or the Rock throws a giant hook and hooks to the helicopter.
Because
and
they've kidnapped the sister to get the virus back, so then the Rock has to chain it with a winch on a tow truck.
But it starts to pull him up, and of course, here come the other Samoan family, the Samoan dynasty.
So all attached.
Pulls up, and they all attach. It's so ridiculous, but it's just like, yeah, okay. Like, it's a Fast and Furious movie, whatever.
Yeah.
They pull the helicopter down. Apparently everybody survives because that's a thing that happens when you.
I can't. When that helicopter crashed with no seatbelts and no armor, even and the girl's just sitting there.
Yeah, I was like, Idris Elba, I'll give you because we established that he's bulletproof and whatever.
She didn't have a scratch on her. No. She crashed in a helicopter.
Right, and so we get this is the scene we're talking about where it's finally that Statham and The Rock realize they have to work together. To
finally,
take
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Sure,
into the movie.
Yeah, right, right,
and they make sweet, sweet love.
Oh, they do, and so like The Rock's like, all right. So we have to distract him. I'll get punched, and then you punch him. And then when he goes to punch you, I'll punch him, and then we'll be all right.
You're right.
Well, so it's like someone got a new slow motion machine for Christmas.
So actually, I liked it. Like, I liked the slow motion.
It looked cool, but the 20th time they did it, it just gets too much. Like, I'm all for technology, special effects. I eat it up, right? But, like, when they do it and do it and do it and do it, it's like, okay, we get it.
I was cool with it. I didn't care. So, the contract, man.
Yeah,
that's right. They defeat Idris Elba. The secret organization says, basically, F you. I'm taking all of this stuff back. And
They shut him down. He falls into the ocean.
The virus gets taken out of Hattie. She takes out the other guy pretty quick, which I also enjoyed. Like, I like that she was resourceful because, like, there's fuel pouring out, and she figures out that she can just, like, electrocute the guy through the whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
But the one thing... Out of all of the stupid stuff.
Oh, and then the movie just ends, by the way.
It kind of does. We get two little clips at the end.
He falls in the sea and they're standing there looking over the cliff and the credits roll on top of that. Like, it is the most jarring.
Well, there are no plot points to resolve.
They did. They resolved them.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny that, like, after that fight and they're there, it just credits
roll. So one of the things
I was relieved.
One of the things I wish they would have done, right, is this. She's got this virus running around in her system. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to kiss The Rock. And I was like, well, wouldn't that transfer the virus to
The
Rock?
I thought the same thing. I was
like, oh. So, like, here's what I was... I wish they would have just held off on that.
Well, no, because the capsules are just in her palm. It's not in her bloodstream.
Oh.
They're literally capsules that are not broken down. They dissolve after 36 hours.
Got it. Okay,
that
makes
more
sense.
But I thought the same thing.
Like,
you have a deadly virus in your body.
I'm not kissing you.
The kissing scene was not attractive in that
case. You are extremely hot. I'm not going to lie. I just saw you smash a dude's face in. Like, cool.
Oh, that climbing over the driver's seat thing, just where it hung on her and him having a moment while they're driving attached to a helicopter.
I don't even remember
it.
So anyway, yeah, the thing ends, and I do like this. We get a post-credit scene with Ryan Reynolds where... He's kind of like, I'm in the basically. I need your help. And then he realizes he's like, oh, no, wait, it's not my blood. No, it's all their blood. And he's like, and there's a running joke. He's like, they put a brick through a guy's chest. He's like, how does that even happen? I don't even
understand. They stab him with a brick.
Yeah. And he's
how
just like,
stab somebody. With
he's
a brick?
Like, actually, it's not that hard. And there's a guy on the floor with a brick in his chest. And then the second post credit sequence is there's a scene on a plane where they kind of tease The Rock about his name.
I left before this.
Oh, there's two. So then The Rock gets him back.
Well, there's three.
What's the third one?
There's like an immediate credit scene with Ryan Reynolds. Then there's this one, and there's another Ryan Reynolds at the end.
Oh.
He goes back to Ryan Reynolds.
Right, right. So, well, yeah, that's right. That's right. But yeah, I mean, here we go.
So what was the other one? What was the second one?
The one is Ryan Reynolds saying, I need your help.
Right. There's this other virus.
Right.
Yeah,
other virus one. And then it goes to the bar.
There was this. You remember the scene where The Rock's on, they're getting on the airplane, and Jason Statham gives him that, like, the Mike, whatever his name is.
It's Mike,
like,
Roch or whatever.
No, it's like Mike Tiny Penis or something.
Okay, yeah.
So The Rock does it to him, And he's just like, you know, like, and then he gets
it's because it's in their contract.
Yes.
It's so in their contract
so
that
calls.
They can't get one
yeah,
up.
Exactly.
And you know what I thought? So he calls in the cops around a bar and to get Statham, who has is Hugh Janus is yeah. the name he gives
right.
him. And then I'm like, what if those guys all just shot Statham dead?
Or what if
because of
like,
the Rock's
the way
joke?
The way Statham like, sets that up, he's like, yeah, I'm going to kick the
yeah.
all these cops.
Like, so
right
what if
now?
He just gets shot and died? Would Hobbs care like over this joke? Like, it's,
but then the third one is Ryan Reynolds being like, oh no, wait, it's not
yeah.
my blood.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, how it ends.
And then he's like part of the team or whatever.
Yeah.
He just, it basically is saying like, yeah, we're best friends.
The one thing I did like is when they're talking to Kevin Hart, who turns out to be like this air marshal, and he keeps dropping his voice. And they're
yeah,
just like,
that was
what are you doing?
Like Ryan, that's why I'm like, if they make another one with Ryan Reynolds and Kevin Hart,
yeah.
I'm like, okay,
yeah.
that
yeah.
you that could be okay.
But as soon as Kevin Hart, which we didn't mention, we alluded to, but as soon as Kevin Hart's like, you call me, I'm an air marshal, I can get you whatever you want, I can get you planes, I can get you helicopters, I'm like, oh, that's coming back.
Oh yeah.
And then at the end, when they're in Russia or wherever they are, and they have to go to Samoa, and they're on the no-fly list when they're wanted, I'm like, how are they going to get there?
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, that whole thing was a lazy way to get them.
Hey,
to
at least they addressed it as a plot point.
Yeah.
Like, that's a step
right.
in the right direction
yeah,
for
right,
these
right,
kind
right.
of
movies. That's true. Rather than be like, how'd they get there? And they
right.
never addressed it. At least they did. But I'm like, oh my God, to bring him in just so he has unlimited access to aircraft. Like, okay.
I don't think air marshals have that kind
yeah,
of
yeah, I don't believe so. But.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So
Fast Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
There, the studio will be very pleased
yeah,
that you said it
I'm
that
glad
way.
That they listened to the podcast.
Yes. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, please do so. Well, and do it at our Facebook page, Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the group entitled League of Show Sharers. You can also just share a show and literally be in the League of Show Sharers. And check out our Patreon account, Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Next time, we will tackle Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Until then, Matthias defeats Balthazar. I got a bad side, I got a monkey on my back and I call it pride. I got a mean streak, I don't care to hide. And I will fight for my cause even if I die. And I got one heart, I got two fists. I'm a dirty fighter and a strategist. So yo, in 2 minutes I will clean out your men. Then I clean out your mind like a toothpick. Hey yo, something wicked this way do come. Sitting on two wheels, carrying two guns. In a bulletproof suit, looking like a champion. Carl V. Briggs done the black Superman, yeah. I am the evolution of man. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.